Alrighty, welcome to North Shore Sports Night on this, a Monday night? Late in March, I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell sort of pushing all the buttons here in absentia. We appreciate that. And, Tim, what happened to the music?
Rick, I'm not there to help you.
Oh, you're not. That's right. You're not here at all. Oh, man. Well, we have to do better than this anyway. Coach, how are you doing?
I've had my vaccine, so I'm good, and I'm still wearing a mask, and I'm still socially distancing, you know, so...
You've always been socially distant, so...
I'm doing it.
Yeah, I know. Well, speaking of that, and without throwing darts, against the board here, late-breaking news, as they say. Phil Stacey of the Salem News, the Salem News sports editor, is tweeting within the last half hour or so that the Gloucester-Swampscott football game is off for this Friday night. And, again, no blame is placed. It's just the game will not be played. Swampscott missed last week's game. Gloucester, you were at that game, had 15 players, and they won the game, which is just remarkable.
Yeah, it really is. And they played extremely well. It sort of harkens back to one of Paul Ingram's last year when he was a junior and senior 2010 teams where they had so many two-way players that when Paul left, there were three kids who had any solid varsity experience because they graduated 19 kids that played both ways. It was just incredible.
Well, that's why they went 50-2 those 3 years.
they would change possession, and the team would just go on the other side of the line.
Yeah.
They go from offense to defense.
Well, it's a remarkable accomplishment, and congratulations to Coach Dan O'Connor. You won't find a nicer, more optimistic guy than Coach. And you know, what Gloucester went through last year, most schools don't go through, even on a down cycle. So we really congratulate them for their comebacks and doing well. And also, Coach, on Saturday, speaking of the fact that Swampscott did not play, Danvers had to readjust its schedule and went over to play Beverly. And, boy, the Panthers pulled off a big – I don't know if it's an upset, but they really pulled off a big game.
Many would have considered it an upset after the loss that Beverly took to Marblehead 34-7 the week prior. Would they be able to bounce back against a really quality team? Davis had lost its opening game, but could Beverly bounce back against a team that was physically bigger? We know they had a lot more success of late than Beverly, and they took it to them from the outset.
Mm-hmm.
They physically manhandled them. They got outstanding performances from all of their running backs. They were able to get around the corner most of the day for outstanding runs. And in my conversation with Coach Brinsley at the end of the game, I said for me one of the defining moments of the game was the end of the game when they got the ball back with and they were up 24-7 at this point. But they got the ball right around their 20-yard line. And in three plays, they were down inside of the 10 of Danvers before time ran out. And it was just amazing. I mean, you could have turned the ball over there, given up a quick score, and all of a sudden, Danvers had some low life. But, man, all of a sudden, Beverly just said, no, we're not letting this happen, and just seized the end of the game.
Well,
from Danvers. They were not going to let it slip away.
Lots of amazing scores this weekend. Manchester Essex bouncing back, beating Triton by 3, 13-10. Marblehead in a squeaker over Peabody, 20-13. Ipswich over North Reading, 28-14. Bishop Fenwick crushed Drake at 45-6. In an amazing game that I wish I could have been able to attend, Boston College High School 37, St. John's Prep 35, two overtimes. Talking with Coach Brian St. Pierre of the prep before the game, he pointed out, Tim, that the smallest lineman on BC High was like 6'3", 260. so So a great game for the Prep, even though they lost, and the Prep has, I think, something like only three or four seniors. So good things, I think, to come for the Prep, if not now, then soon.
Oh, certainly. And, I mean, you know, they may struggle early beginning of the season, but by, you know, the midpoint of the season, they're on, you know, total afterburner, and they'll burn through the rest of their season. To me, it just always seems to happen that way.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
You know, there's an early bump in their schedule, and all of a sudden they're right to ship, and it's full speed ahead, and it's if you give an afterburner on a ship, they'd be flying them. Had it been a great game, again, ended up in overtime, so you were definitely, you know, matching. Well, you certainly sized with a mismatch. You were certainly matching
well,
up.
Well, what's funny is Coach St. Pierre, he emailed me graciously back, and he said that it's tough to talk to these guys when they lose, Tim. You know what that's like to go out front when you lose a game. You guys are so competitive. But Coach St. Pierre said it was a great game, but the Prep let it get away from them, and which indicates to me, watch out for these guys in the future.
Well, yeah, and you know, you hear that kind of an analysis, and they get, you know, God help the team, they got to play next week.
That's true. You know? All right, and the Prep will be playing at Catholic Memorial Saturday. A couple of other scores, Tim.
Ooh, wow.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, there's another test with Coach DiBiaso and the boys from CM. We know what they're all about.
Mm-hmm. All right, Amesbury over Hamilton, Wenham. The Generals having a tough time. They've got some weapons, but another tough loss. Linfield over Newburyport, that's a big one. We're going to talk to Coach Pat LaMuster of the Pioneers in a little while. Essex Tech beat Greater Lawrence by 2. And Winthrop, 28-0 over Saugus, so the Vikings are off to a great start. Coming up tonight, we'll be talking in just a few minutes with the Director of Athletics at Danvers High School, Andy St. Pierre. We'll also be checking in with Kevin Fassett, the Ipswich High School football coach, Pat LaMuster. A little bit later on, he's the Linfield football coach. And, of course, our stalwarts, our anchors, Gary Larrabee on golf and other stuff. Mike Grenier wants to talk some March Madness. And by the way, Dale Dunbar, National Hockey League agent, coach of the Winthrop Vikings hockey team, he's going to talk some March Madness with us tomorrow here on MSO. I can't wait for that one. Mike Grenier also will be checking in to talk about March Madness as well as the Celtics. And, of course, I don't know if Gary's going to opine on March Madness or not, but he'll certainly bring us back up to speed on golf. And
Connecticut Grills won last night.
Well, that's good. I'm happy for that. But UMass Hockey wins the ECAC. I mean, come on, UMass. And Coach Dunbar is going to talk about that tomorrow as well. So UMass beat UMass Lowell yesterday for the ECAC championship. And again, I want to point out that Gloucester Swampscott has been postponed. And also we're going to be talking, I'm sure, with Mike Grenier, Tim, to get his opinion on Elgin Baylor, certainly one of the smoothest, classiest NBA players of all time.
Oh, yeah, I heard that today. You know, your memories go right back to the 60s and the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But especially the 60s, the wars between L.A. and Boston. And just the tremendous amount of talent that was on the court for both teams. And it's like, oh, my God. You know, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor,
yep.
They just epitomized the Lakers. They were Showtime before there was Showtime.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All right, Coach, let's take a break. We'll check in with Andy St. Pierre, the Director of Athletics over at Danvers High School, in just a minute here. Wish me luck. I'm going to go with all the buttons here without Coach being here, and we'll be back. Thank you.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Okay, we're back. It's a Monday night, North Shore Sports Night. It's springtime, and hope springs eternal, I guess, is the catchphrase. And talking now once again with Danvers Director of Athletics, Andy St. Pierre. And Andy, welcome back. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me, guys. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I don't know how Coach is doing over there in Beverly.
Rick, you don't really care, so I'm not going to tell you.
No, I don't. I don't. But I just thought I'd be polite in front of Andy, you know. Andy, you know, amazingly, in my opinion, amazingly, you guys and so many directors of athletics in the area and coaches and teachers, you've pulled it off this year. And I can't even imagine some of the obstacles that you've had to overcome. And maybe a quick synopsis, Coach Andy, is how it's been since September in terms of scheduling, in terms of getting kids onto the court or onto the field and having so much success.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, there was no other choice. We had to get it done. We wanted to get it done for the kids. That's what it's always been about. And, you know, going all the way back to September, we've been able to do it. Was it easy? No. But it's rewarding and it's worth it for the kids. And, you know, the one word to sort of sum everything up is evolving. You know, mm-hmm. it's constantly evolving every day, every week, every hour of the day. You know, things are changing. New protocols. It's probably been the hardest part of getting all the new protocols conveyed and out there to the student athletes and the coaches and families, and making sure that people know, like, this is how we have to do business now. Like, they're creatures of habit, so they've done it a certain way for so many years. And I think that's been the most challenging thing now. But you know what? We've gone through a couple seasons now, and we started up fall too, and things seem to be going well. You know, the most important thing, and we preach to our kids all the time, you know, this pandemic's still here. We're
yeah.
still in it. You know, you can't let your guard down. Someone used the analogy the other day. We're on the 5-yard line. We're about to score. You can't fumble.
Yeah, don't.
You can't turn the ball over. You got to finish it. And, you know, I think that's a really appropriate way to look at things right now, because we're really close and things are going the right way in terms of the data and the numbers, but we're still in it. You know, we still have to be smart.
Have you had to play a bad cop sometimes in terms of telling the kids, okay, listen, you know, you got to put the damn mask on, or you got to separate this, or you got to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, as an AD, it's all positive. You push the kids, and the coaches do the negative stuff. But you sort of have to be an overseer now, not only for the kids, but also for the coaches.
Yeah, there's a lot of negativity from that aspect, I guess, this year. But I don't think anyone's taking it that way.
Right, right.
So our kids and the coaches, they get it. Like, they knew, and we've talked at length, you know, leading up to the season, like, this is how it's got to be, guys. This is the one year we're asking you, it's just don't question anything. This is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and if we ask you to pull your mask here, put your mask there. If we ask you to stand here, you need to stand there. And just trust that there's a reason for it. You know, everything we're doing is for you guys. And I think most people understand that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the silver lining in it all is, I think, everyone's sort of just been grateful, more so than normal. At least they show more.
Yeah.
It shows more now that they're just grateful to have the opportunity to play, and you can't lose sight of that. So I think all the little stuff, telling kids to space out, telling kids to put their mask up, it's sort of trivial and minor in the overall scheme of things. And to be honest, I think most of our people are doing the right stuff anyway.
Well, I'm going to let Tim ask the next question, but I got to tell you that I think I was talking to the St. John's prep football coach, and I said, I think we're in good hands with these kids. And he reiterated that, in that the kids get it, and they're leading the way for us older folks. So it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Tim?
Andy, I know this is kind of probably tough to talk about, but has the parental support for what the administration, the MIAA, have brought down in terms of guidelines for the season to take place, have they gained in support for you guys and what you guys are trying to accomplish?
As far as I can tell, yes. In our community, I can only speak for us and our parents. And, you know, I feel like overall our parents have been extremely supportive, you know, of what we're doing. And, you know, they don't always have to like every decision, but at the end of the day, I think they get it and they respect where it's coming from. You know, the big one now is the fans at games. You know, with the governor just changed the policy with fans. But, you know, like I said earlier, we're still in a pandemic, and we're being really cautious with it. Because at the end of the day, our goal is to get the kids out there and get these games and the seasons in. That's what we need to do. And if, you know, we as a district need to keep it to two fans per home team player, then that's what we're going to do as best we can. You know, and I think that's probably the one thing that's probably getting people a little frustrated. And I understand that. And I think all schools, all my colleagues, you know, in our league at least, we're working hard to get things live streamed if we can. And if we can't do that, we're trying to get them taped so we have that recording the next day and we can share it with families. And we know that's not ideal. We totally understand that. But in the overall scheme of where we are in the middle of a pandemic or hopefully on the tail end, you know, that's kind of what we're still doing. You know, and again, it all goes back to getting the kids out there on the field, on the courts, playing the games.
Amazing. You know, the football team, my goodness gracious, Andy, you've had to change schedules at the drop of a dime. I mean, I don't know how you're doing that. So explain the process and how this is going, because even I just read Phil Stacey's tweet now that Gloucester and Swampscott won't be playing Friday night. So you get up in the morning and you have everything all set, and then all of a sudden you got to change everything.
I mean, it's always kind of like that to a degree. It's obviously a little bit more severe this year, but you know, like everything, when the chips start flying, you can't get wrapped up in it. You just got to stop, take a deep breath, and look at the task at hand and figure out what's the best way to attack it. You know, for me in this situation, having a good relationship with Beverly and having the communication and being able to, you know, get to the bottom of things really quickly is how that game happens.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to get that in. You know, it's not about winning and losing at that point. It's about what can we do, give and take, you know, and make sure we get this game in. You know, and we lost a home game.
Yeah.
That was our home game that we had against Swampy. That was our home opener. That was our senior night. You know, and it stinks to lose it, but given the situation, the circumstance, Beverly had a senior day the next day that they were already planned for as well, and you know, we didn't want to have them come to us 2 weeks in a row.
Andy,
you
said something that in the past might seem trite, and I think it's very profound. You know, you just said it's not about winning and losing. And with these kids, as you mentioned, and Tim has pointed out over and over again, in the middle of a world pandemic, the idea is to get out there and compete. And the feedback from the kids I've heard from coaches is spectacular. The kids are doing everything they can to get the most. But so are the coaches and the teachers and the ADs. This is a very special time.
Yeah, I mean, and the coaches especially, I mean, it's a stressful time. You know, a lot of them have been coaching for many years, you know, and now all of a sudden we're saying basically put the game planning on the back burner.
Wow.
Let's make sure the kids are in the math, the kids are on the bus where they're supposed to be, you know, that they're not coming too early, they're not coming and hanging around, and making sure if they are that they're spread out outside, like all that stuff. That's what's taking precedence here, and it's all for the safety of the kids. So, like, that's a hard thing to tell a coach. That's what they want to do. That's their part-time job, and that's what they love doing is coaching. You know, but now we're saying, well, let's coach, but let's do all this stuff first. So it's been tough, but they get it, and they've been great with it.
Tim?
Andy, let's move to spring sports. Now would be the time when teams would be trying out, or they would have finished picking their teams, and they'd be having practices. How will spring sports, you know, will spring sports be able to have practices with the coaches and the kids that aren't involved in other fall two sports?
Right now, like during the fall two season?
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, you know, they're losing time.
Yeah. So we do have, I know baseball, softball, the lacrosses are all starting to do workouts with the coaches in the evenings when they can. So, yeah, they're getting after it. I mean, they lost a whole year. They lost everything last year. So it's a chance for us to get them out there just to start getting them in condition, getting to play the sport again. Hoping that when the time comes for the spring season, they'll be ready to go a little bit more than they typically are. But, yeah, with the MIA waiving the out-of-season rules, for coaching, we have been able to take advantage of that a little bit, which is helpful.
Good.
Andy, as I've said before, as we wrap this up, as a fan and as a parent and as doing this thing with Tim for so many years, I really appreciate the work that you do, because it's doubled. Not only do you have to take care of everything now, but on the field, but you also have to take care of their safety off the field. And you, educators, coaches, teachers, and parents and the kids, I'm all on the sidelines. It's amazing what you've done, and I congratulate you and thank you, because it's great watching these kids compete at such a high level.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's very nice of you, and obviously that's our job. So that's what we do, and we're happy to be able to do it. And, you know, for the most part, we've had all of our teams out there playing, competing, having fun, and just being kids again. And
there you go. There you go. All right, we'll talk to you hopefully in a few weeks when spring gets underway. Andy, stay safe, and again, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Take care. Stay safe.
Thanks,
take care, Andy. All right, that's Andy St. Pierre, who is the director of athletics at Danvers High School, and things are going along okay there. It's just amazing how things have to change so quickly. Coming up, we'll talk with the Ipswich High School football coach, Kevin Fassett, here in just a second, if I press the right buttons. Ipswich winners over North Reading by 28-14 last weekend. So hang in there. We'll be right back, and let me see if I can figure this out. There we go. Right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This week, come back live. I'm Rick Moore, along with Ipswich High School football coach Kevin Fassett. Tim Kearns on the other line as well. And coach, another win. Congratulations. You guys, big win over the weekend. I know I have it right here. I just mentioned it. Ipswich 28, North Reading 14.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was a big step in our program. It's been a long time since we've been on the winning side in that game, and we haven't played them in a couple of years, but it was nice to see the kids step up and play, you know, our style of game, and we were able to come out with a win in the end, sure.
You know, it looks like in the scoring summary that you sent us, I hate to use Bill Belichick's the all three phases, but it looked like you had contributions from everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think our game plan was kind of, you know, going into that. You know, coaches did a great job getting their kids ready, and they run some really dynamic stuff, so we're hoping to, you know, win all phases of the game like every team's trying to do. But, you know, that happened to fall in our favor, and it helped definitely in the scoreboard, sure.
All right, someone who stood out, I see Chase Huntley's name here a couple of places in the scoring. Tell me a little bit about his performance and maybe how other things went.
Yeah, no, he played really well. I mean, he's got a couple hundred yards games, which is outstanding. And we're really happy with his contribution and he seemed to be stepping up, and he's been a contributor now for a couple of years, but it's nice to see the dividends pay off. And, him running well, you know, the other running backs are also running hard and blocking for him. And, you know, I was happy to see the offensive line also kind of set the tone a little bit up front for him. So it was good.
Tim?
Biggest change you've seen in your team coach for this year?
Biggest change. Well, I decided to switch the offense and switch in a COVID year, which
in a short practice season. Yep.
Yeah, short practice season. So don't pick my brain on that one. But you know, so we're still trying to keep things getting things still figured out and we're able to keep on offense. It's been great, and it's been a lot of fun. So it's been challenging, but the other side of things, you know, everyone's in the same boat. A couple of guys have really stepped up their game. One of them is Nikhil Walker, defensive end, and you know, is also playing tight end. And he's been a force. You know, he's been all in. You know, Cole Terry's been, you know, a solid rock right there in the middle for now 3 years. So, you know, when these kids get 18 versus 16 and they've had that experience, kind of been there, done that type deal on the field, nothing seems to faze them as much. And it's been great, you know, having those guys on the field and being good leaders.
You know, I got to ask, I'm trying to focus on this. I have to ask coaches about interior linemen, because when you send me these scoring summaries, it's always most of the time it's a skilled player and you see the stats and this guy's got 100 yards and so on. But when you look at the film, Coach, who catches your eye as an interior lineman on either side of the ball?
Well, N'Keal Walker at 6'5" has been a pretty good core.
Well, you can't miss him.
Yeah, yeah. So I know you can't say he's an under-the-radar guy. There's two guys that...
I didn't mean it that way, Coach. I meant brag about him. Please do.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. No, he's been outstanding, and his stats and numbers and have been through the roof. And then I guess if you're looking at, I got to give some love to the rest of the guys, too, of course, that, Jack Weil has been a great contribution playing on both sides of the ball. And I thought Aiden Lewis last game played the best game I've seen him play on the offensive line since, he's been a part of this. So, and a lot of the guys have good, solid contributions. Those are just ones that jumped out of my head right away.
Tremendous.
And again, no slight to anyone else.
No, of course, Cool. Yeah, that's the trouble when I ask coaches because, it's tough to, you're coaching and I know how hard it is to mention names and go to practice with coaches and stuff with kids and, and stuff like that, but I do want to keep up with the interior linemen. I can't find anything on what your schedule is. Who do you have next?
We got a bye this week.
Well, that would be the reason. Okay.
And then we got Newburyport right behind that, which looks like a very good team. We just saw them; they had a tough one against Linfield, and they're physical, run the ball, play really good defense offensively. They're dynamic, and they just had a couple turnovers last game that got to them, but they look like they're a very pretty polished team.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot to get ready for in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and Linfield has had a very impressive start, beating Newburyport this past weekend by 6 points. Coach, this is great. Nice start. I mean, I know it's a short season, but it's got to feel good.
Oh, absolutely. And these are two, what I'm thinking and guessing, teams that we beat that are going to win more games than they lose. I thought these teams are pretty talented, and I thought, watching these were two good games for fans to watch and live stream and stuff like that. So I'm hoping we can continue to get better, and keep climbing off this. And I think those were two pretty solid teams that we were, very fortunate to be on the winning side of.
Well, congratulations.
Either way, both times.
Congratulations, Kevin, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach. Stay safe.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay.
All right. That is Kevin Fassette, who is the Ipswich High School football coach. And Coach Kearns, good start for the young man and the young team.
Yeah, certainly. You always want to see the locals doing well, but then again, they're playing a lot of local teams as well. But Ainsbury's always been a team that has given people fits. They're usually very big, very athletic, and holding on to that, the win 17-14. I think I noted, Rick, Silva missed the PAT on their first touchdown, but then he keeps a 24-yard field goal.
To win it, yeah.
Water.
I asked Coach...
The winning edge. And Danvers had a kid who kicked a field goal. Beverly had a kid who kicked a big field goal early on to give them some breathing space. So all of a sudden, there's a rush of kickers in the North Shore area.
Excellent, excellent. And I asked Coach Fassette about that game a week ago when he missed the PAT, the kid did, and then he came back and won the field goal. He said, ice, just pure ice. He could do it. So it's great. All right, let's take a break, Tim. We'll come back with the man, Gary Larrabee, here on MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. I'm looking for my music here. There it is. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
All righty then, we are back, and I didn't mess things up too bad. I want to welcome back Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, and all-around good guy. Gary, how you doing?
I'm an all-around good guy. I've been promoted, huh?
Oh, no, we've had you up higher than that.
Gary, you always have to be wary when Rick starts throwing around the compliments like that.
No, only with Tim.
Tim, that's it.
Wait a minute. Have I ever thrown a compliment your way, Tim?
No.
Oh, okay. So there you go. There you go. Anyway, Gary, enlighten us. What's going on?
Well, great to be with you, of course. And while we're talking, we're watching Marcus Zagorowski, Hamilton Wenham's own and proudest, carrying Creighton, looks like, to a Sweet 16 berth. The Creighton's way ahead of Ohio University.
Wow.
So a great night to be watching college basketball with one of our own starring on the tube. But back to the real question, Rick. We're going to have an early golf season this year, just like last year. A lot of the courses are opening this week.
Wow.
Most of the publics are open. They were open over the weekend, and many of the private clubs are already booking their kickoff to sometime during this week. So let's hope it's a great start, and it continues right through into November and maybe even December. Just great to see the golfing underway.
Great to see the good weather, you know it, and I don't know. Things are going to start to turn green here in a couple of days. What's going on elsewhere, Gare?
Well, you know, we had an Australian win the PGA Tour event yesterday in Florida, Matt Jones. There's more than a couple of good Australian professional golfers we've seen over the years, Greg Norman, David Graham, and others, but Peter Thompson. But the new one is Matt Jones, and he shot a 61. And was way ahead of the pack early in the last weekend, and then he stumbled a little bit, then he came back strong yesterday, and another relatively unknown face winning. But of course, I think the big side story is the fact that Brooks Koepka had a knee surgery within the last 10 days. That's why we haven't seen him for a few weeks since he was due from the Tournament Players Championship, and it's very much in doubt whether he'll be able to play in 2 weeks' time at the Masters. He's won four majors, and every time he tees it up in the Masters, he's going to be one of the favorites. But right now, we're not even sure if he's going to be playing, Tim.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture of Matt Jones, Gary. How old is he? I can't tell by the picture.
41.
Okay, I knew he had some years on it, but I couldn't figure out, because he's got some, like, scruffy beard working.
No, he's a journeyman golfer. He admits to being a journeyman's golfer, and he's won a couple of times previous on the PGA Tour over the years, but he's obviously a nondescript personality, and but he's earned his way into the Masters in 2 weeks, and we'll see Matt Jones in Augusta Nash. We're just not sure if we'll see Brooks Koepka. We will not see Tiger Woods. So there's a little bit of anticipation, good or bad, coming up the next few weeks.
You know, Gary, that statement right there, that you know, the journeyman, that has to, you know, be a shot in the arm to all those others out there that have not won a tournament or have only won once, and that, you know,
Lightning, you can't catch lightning in a bottle. You can't have a week where you get your game all under control, all at the same time, and you make the drives, your irons are working, your putter is hot, and you can go in there and you can win yourself a tournament. You know, it might not happen every week like for some of these guys, but you can get your name up at the top of the leaderboard at the end of Sunday.
And we've been reminded over the years while we've had these Monday night conversations, and it's been happening all the time on the PGA Tour, that you're not going to have a big name winning every week. We've most likely, and this week coming up will be no exception possibly, because it's the Dell Technologies match play tournament in Austin, Texas. And oftentimes, an unknown player gets hot for a few days playing. This is all match play now, not stroke play, for 5 days. You never know who will pop up in Austin this week. You just never know. There's so many good players out there, whether they're names or not names. And it doesn't matter. These young nameless types can steal a tournament just as effectively as a big name.
Yep. And, you know, it almost seems like these gentlemen, they aren't as intimidated as maybe some of the guys in the past playing against, you know, Arnie and Jack and a lot of those other guys. These guys just don't care.
Of course. And confidence is usually not the issue out there. These guys, if you're out there playing on the PGA Tour,
mm-hmm.
And you're good enough to qualify for one of those tournaments, you must believe that you can win. Of course, it wasn't a very good week for Rob Oppenheim, Salem-born and Andover-bred. He missed the cut by a big margin, and I don't believe he's playing this week in the match play, but I believe he'll be playing next week at the Valero Texas Open, the last tournament before the Masters, and if Rob wants to play in a Masters, he'll have to win a tournament to do so, which would be ideally next week, but who knows?
Let's hope for that. Let's hope for that. I that would be way cool when you report next week. Hey, Gary, final comment. Did you ever interview Elgin Baylor?
I never did. He was before my time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, we saw him a lot during those great Celtics-Lakers series back in the 80s. He was always around the Lakers locker room or
okay. Yep.
We saw him and you know just another great athlete we have lost. I mean, we've lost so many great athletes and great professional performers in American sports over the last 10 to 15 months.
Mm-hmm.
And Elgin's the latest one, just a tremendous player, and because the Celtics broke his heart every time the Lakers went into the finals against the Celtics back in the 60s. And, of course, the last ultimate disappointment was in 1969 when it was Baylor, West, and Will Chamberlain. And they had the Celtics on Game 7 in the Forum, and they still couldn't do it.
I know. Hey, listen.
Those balloons and the Raptors never came.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I had one more question. Oh, Gary, the column, is it back?
The column will be back the first weekend in April.
Okay.
I should say Masters weekend, and I'll be back. And
all right,
lots to talk about, lots to look forward to, and I can't wait another couple of weeks.
Awesome, and that's in the Salem News, and we'll be talking about that and hyping that. Gary, appreciate it. I love it. Get out there, man, and keep the good weather coming, and the greens get greener.
Enjoy the weather. Get your vaccination, and keep wearing your mask.
Love it. Thanks, Gary. Stay safe.
Thanks guys. Stay well.
All right, take care. That is Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, and we're going to take another quick break, come back with the Linfield High School football coach, and then we'll have Mike Grenier coming up in just a little while. So stay with us. This is MSONewsSports.com, and this is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Okay, we're back now with the Linfield High School football coach, once again, Pat LaMusta. And, Coach, welcome back. Congratulations on another big win.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, Linfield 13, Newburyport 7, I'm sure it's the close game that it looks like here. Tell me a little bit about the highlights of the game, and then we'll talk about some of your players.
Oh, so it was just a defensive battle. We struggled to get anything going on offense first quarter, second quarter. They were blitzing. And then, you know, we just stayed the course in the second half, and we were able to get a few big plays. Jack Ford and Austin Sutera connecting with Jack Ford a couple times for, you know, a couple long passes, and, you know, and Jack had a few broken tackles too. So he's just outstanding effort from Jack and Austin. And Austin was under pressure the whole game. Coach Smolski, and his guys, they really made it tough for us. So hats off to Coach. And we're going to see them again week five. So, it'll be another good matchup, I'm sure.
Well, they took a 7-0 lead in the first half. You guys came back, tied it in the third. Then in the fourth, you went up but missed a field goal. I mean, missed the extra point. So 13-7. Was there a challenge by Newburyport in the fourth quarter where they could have come back and tied it or perhaps taken the lead?
Yeah, so they were after a couple penalties, they were in the red zone. They got it down to probably the 6-yard line,
whoa,
the 7-yard line, and it was fourth and goal. And they called a timeout, and you know, Coach Smolski and his guys, they drew up a play, and we were able to come up with the stop and force a fumble too, and we were able to get the ball back, and we took a knee and we won the game. So it was one of those classic kind of down to the wire, big defensive stand. Really impressed with how the defense played.
I hope this is on video so everybody can see it. Tim? Are you there, Tim?
Yeah, I had a question and I sort of drifted into the internet somewhere.
Well, what happens is you listen to what the coach is saying, and then it takes you in a new direction. I totally get that.
I know. What's been, I guess, the biggest challenge off the field for you this season with the kids and trying to keep them all safe from the COVID?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Just logistically, they're not all coming from a central location. So, like, just the tradition of all walking out of the locker room onto the practice field. You don't have that. Some kids are coming from in school. Some kids are coming from home. So just, it's very, the arrival is a little bit disjointed, trying to make sure they're doing the right thing off the field with COVID protocols. You know, and overall they've been great with that. So it's just, I think the beginning of practice feels weird, but once everyone gets there and we get going, you know, we have good senior leaders, great captains that kind of get things moving for us.
Yeah, I talked to Andrew Morency, the head coach of Beverly, Saturday afternoon after their win over at Danvers, and it was so strange to see all the kids standing outside of the locker room in their uniforms waiting for rides. It looked like a Pop Warner team waiting for the parents to pick them up.
So when I explained it to parents, I said it's going to have a youth football field. It's going to have a youth football field. It's going to be like you're camping. You're going to come in with your gear, and you're going to leave with your gear. You know, it's going to have that feel to it. And it's just, and there's so much camaraderie in the locker room, and our locker room's small, and it's claustrophobic in there, but the kids love it. So they're missing that this year for sure, but they're still happy they're playing.
Well, Pat, you got to tell me about this combination of Austin Sutera and Jack Ford. You had us talk with Austin last week. He was a very articulate, a nice young man, following in the footsteps of another great quarterback you had last year, or a year and a half ago, whenever that was. Now, but tell me about the combination of Sutera and Ford.
So they're like best friends. So, and they, it's funny, they actually have like their own little language.
Okay.
So there's just already chemistry there, and you know, and Austin's willing to get the ball out there to Jack in a in any type of situation. You know, we're allowing him to throw that ball to any four of our receivers on any given play. We kind of give him that freedom, and he's got like this little, you know, language and chemistry with Jack. That's just they've been friends for so long, since like elementary school. So they it's a really cool thing to see.
It is, isn't it?
Very, very fortunate to have them on the squad, for sure.
Are they both seniors?
Yes, both seniors.
Tim, final thoughts?
Coach, is there a checkup that you will allow those two to do? You know, a la Tom Brady, he sees a defense, he sees a matchup, and he would just give a receiver a look, and there'd be, you know, there'd be a nod or a wink or you know, a nudge, and they'd automatically be on the same page, and because they're seeing the same thing, and they would simply check off and make a play otherwise.
Yeah. So not to give it away, but yes.
Yeah.
We give, and we coach our quarterbacks early on that they have the power to do that. That's the whole premise of our offense. The whole air raid mindset is to, on any given play, get the ball to your athletes in space in the fastest manner. And we give them a lot of power to do that, whether it's hand signals or what have you. So the QB steers the ship for sure.
All right, we're not going to give that away. No hand signal, no video. Pat, do you have you got Pawtucket next?
Pawtucket coming up.
And when is that?
That is Friday, this Friday, 5:30 at Linfield.
And that's home. All right. Yeah. Coach, congratulations, man, and keep it going. I'm glad you guys are having so much fun.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Pat. Take care.
All right. Bye
now.
All right. That is Pat LaMusta, who is the high school football coach at Linfield High School. Coming up next, we'll be talking with Mike Grenier, also a sports journalist who will have some things to talk about, I'm sure. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Good, Michael.
All right. Michael is here. Mike Grenier is with us. Tim Kearns, of course, on the other line as well. Mike, sports journalist. Mike, welcome. How are you?
Well, not sleeping these days. I'm binge-watching the NCAA tournament.
Listen.
And haven't slept since last Thursday, I don't think.
I got to tell you, I don't know if you know Dale Dunbar. Dale Dunbar is a National Hockey League agent. He's the Winthrop High School hockey coach. He used to play for the Bruins. And he's a hockey... I don't know how to describe it, but it's hockey. and I've got an interview coming up tomorrow with Dale. And he is, same thing, he's glued to March Madness.
Oh, yeah, well, this has been phenomenal. I mean, Tim, you know, it's going, all these lower seeds, you know, whether it's University of Ohio, Oral Roberts getting to the Sweet 16, the only number 15 seed, only the third number 15 seed to ever reach the Sweet 16 with two upsets, including... you know, the big one over Ohio State, which was a number two seed. I mean, there's been so many upsets and so many great games. And, of course, right now, you know, as we speak, we have Creighton University leading Ohio. And, of course, the local kid, Hamilton's Marcus Zagorowski, has 16 points so far. He's playing great. And actually, on that local note, 8 years ago, I don't know how many, I think people around here should could remember, Michael Carter-Williams, who, of course, is Marcus Zagorowski's older brother, was playing for Syracuse, and he led them to the Final Four that year in 2013 with Syracuse, and they lost to Michigan in the Final Four. And in what became a national story during that tournament Michael Carter, Williams, and Syracuse, they were on their way to the Final Four in the Sweet 16, and Michael Carter, Williams' home burned down in Hamilton.
Wow.
And it was a three-alarm fire. The house was destroyed. They got very few of their personal items out in time, and it happened during the NCAA tournament. And Michael Carter Williams' mother, Mandy Zagorowski, Marcus's mother, they were away watching the tournament when it happened. She was crying in the stands, and Michael Carter Williams looked over and said, "Syracuse is winning," and he goes like, "Mom, we might be going to the the Elite Eight."
Oh boy!
And she contained herself and didn't tell her own son that their house was burning down until after Syracuse had won that game.
Good heavens! No, I wasn't aware of that. Thanks. I hope things are better now for the whole family.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, that was, as I remember, it's like a $700,000 home.
Good heavens.
You know, but obviously they lost their personal effects, but, you know, obviously they were able to rebuild, and no one was injured. The biggest thing, obviously, Rick and Tim, no one was injured, no one was around in the house, and so they were able to escape, you know, bodily harm. So that was a huge thing. But obviously, you know, to have their house consumed in a fire and the circumstances of, you know, their son, Michael Carter Williams, at the time playing, you know, in the Sweet 16 was incredible what happened. Of course, Marcus Zagorowski was only 14 years old at the time, and here he is 8 years later, and he's trying to lead his team to the Sweet 16.
Where is Creighton?
Creighton is in Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh, my. Okay.
And you know who played there, Rick? I mean, we go back. Tim, you'll know this name, too. The great Bob Gibson, the phenomenal Hall of Fame pitcher, was a tremendous athlete, and he went to Creighton University and played baseball and basketball.
Okay.
He scored over 1,000. I believe he had about 1,100 or 1,200 points in his basketball career at Creighton, and of course became just a phenomenal major league pitcher, Hall of Famer.
Well, what do you, you got any favorites in the tournament that are still in there?
You know, watching Gonzaga earlier today, they're the overall number one seed, and they've held true to form. I mean, they won easily over Oklahoma, which is a pretty good team. They won. They've been winning. They're 28-0 now, I believe, and they've been winning by an average of more than 10 points all season.
Nice.
I mean, I'm talking about, I guess they have one of the biggest margins of victory of any team in NCAA history. They've just been blowing out opponents, whether it's regular season or postseason or the conference tournament. They look legit, and of course, you know, how about this Oregon State team out of the Pac-12? They weren't expected to do anything even in their conference tournament, and they've come out of nowhere. And Illinois, all these Big Ten teams, 9 teams in the Big Ten were chosen for the NCAA tournament. 7 of them are already gone, including the number one seed, Illinois. Michigan is struggling today, and they've only got 2 teams left, and they're not even reached the final 16 yet. So they've been a massive flop in this tournament.
Well, my daughter's school, Drexel, they got an entry into both sides, the men's and the women's. Didn't last long, but they made it in there, and I know Tim's got a comment on the women's side.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch the women than the men. They play such better fundamental basketball.
They do.
Did you see the Belmont? Who the heck did they knock off today? They knocked off a 7 seed. And talking about playing tough down the stretch, they had a 2-point lead and they managed to stretch it to 7 at the end of the game. Well, who the hell did they beat? And it was their first win ever.
That's the great thing about that.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, on the men's side, Mike, Michigan is trailing LSU 40-39 with a minute to go in the first half. Has there ever been a weaker number one seed than Michigan? I mean, they've been getting lambasted in the press shouldn't even be a number one the way they finished up the season.
Well, Illinois as well. I mean, Illinois was a highly seeded team, and you know, they gave up, you know, they lost badly and gave up 95 points, you know. So it's been crazy. The Big Ten was highly regarded by the – you wonder how these things are put together, right, guys? Why did they choose 9 teams? There's 14 teams. Of course, what an oxymoron. There are 14 teams in a conference called the Big Ten. 14, right?
Okay.
And 9 of those 14 teams were picked for this big dance here.
Must be money, money, money.
7 of them are already gone, and
Right.
We don't think. Yeah. We don't think Rutgers was admitted into the Big Ten 5 or 6 years ago, and they've done nothing in any sport. They finally won a game in the NCAA tournament this year, and Houston turned them out last night. So it's been a rough go for the Big Ten. Whereas the Pac-12, you know, which is the West Coast teams, Bill Walton does a lot of those games. He loves those teams. UCLA won today. Oregon State is still in there. You know, they've had a great run so far. But obviously, if Creighton can hold on today against Ohio, they will face number one Gonzaga next, and that'll be, you know, you'd think on paper, obviously Gonzaga will be a heavy, heavy favorite. But let's see what happens. It would be great to see Creighton advance because of the local angle for the North Shore. The kid's a great player. You know what? I don't know, Tim. I've watched Marcus Zagorowski play for 3 years now, and he kind of reminded me of Peyton Pritchard, who played for Oregon, who's now a rookie with the Celtics. He's a terrific three-point shooter. Matter of fact, his last five games, he's shooting 61%. From three-point territory. That's kind of like crazy. Mm-hmm. That crazy number.
Well, there's a kid who's letting the offense come to him. He's not forcing. He's taking the shots within the flow of the offense. And that's a sign of maturity.
Right, exactly. You see, he is 22 years old. You know, he had 5 years of high school ball, basically, because he was reclassified when he left Hamilton Wenham, where he won the state championship, where he led the team to a 25-0 record and won the state championship, and then was reclassified as a sophomore and had 4 years of prep school. So he was well prepared for the college ranks, and he's taking advantage of it. Let's face it, I think based on his two postseason games here in the NCAA tournament, he's already been projected as a second-round pick if he should have come out after his junior year. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of decision he makes after this tournament is over, whether he wants to enter the NBA draft. And, you know, obviously they get good advice from people on the outside. Yes, you'd be making the second round, or no, maybe you'd be on the outside looking in. So it's going to be a family decision, and we'll see how it goes. But the kid is having a great tournament, and let's see what happens.
Where did he go to prep school?
He went to a couple prep schools. He went to Tilton Academy, I believe it was. He had a 57-point game in a prep school tournament, and had a tremendous run there, and obviously playing against high caliber competition. That's how he got noticed by many Division I schools. And I think probably he picked Creighton because they needed a point guard. I actually remember writing an email to a Notre Dame assistant coach that I knew from covering Pat Connaughton at Notre Dame, and I said this kid from Hamilton Wenham High School in Massachusetts is definitely a Division I prospect. And I didn't get a response back on the email, and sure enough, Notre Dame has been looking for a point guard for the last 4 years. And you know, obviously, when Connaughton was there, they reached the Elite Eight and nearly beat Kentucky in a game that would have put them in the Final Four in 2015, 6 years ago. And that's when Marcus Zagorowski was leading Hamilton Wenham to a state title. And they ignored my email. Well, you know, the kid ended up having a terrific career at Creighton. Good for him. I mean, it's worked out for every party. Obviously, Notre Dame will never be hurting for athletes. And for Marcus Zagorowski and Creighton, it's worked out. They've been a top 25 team all year.
All right, I want you two to tell me about the Celtics now, and I'll start with you, Mike.
Yes. Well, the Celtics obviously, the rates him a much-needed win over a bad Orlando Magic team yesterday, and they made it look easy. And all of a sudden, the Celtics saying, you know, oh, we're getting things together and all that. No, I don't think so. I think it's just a win over a bad team. And, you know, yeah, they made it look easy yesterday because Orlando's having a rough year. And Jaylen Brown had career-high 10. He made 10 three-pointers. He looked fantastic. But, you know, it still remains to be seen how this is going to – I mean, they're kind of a borderline playoff team right now. They're still in the seventh position, and they're struggling. And they're struggling against the bad team. So you wonder – how they're going to do when they face the iron of the schedule coming down the stretch. They need to keep winning if they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, you know we said it about a month ago, but, you know, this is a 500 team.
Yeah.
They'll win one, they'll lose one.
Yeah.
You know, they went two games below 500, and they've clawed their way back. And it's like, you know, I don't know why they're having such a problem finding any kind of consistency to get on even a meager 4 or 5 game win streak to give yourself some breathing space.
Yes, exactly.
Is the talent on that team just so inconsistent? Have we sort of deluded ourselves because they've got two really high quality young players that they're a much better team than they actually are?
Correct, and I agree. I think the dysfunction of the team comes with when they go to their bench. Brad Sheridan really doesn't trust many of the guys coming off his bench, and that's why you see Grant Williams playing for two or three straight games, and if he has a bad game, you don't see him for four or five games. The number one pick, Aaron Nesmith, has been a total flop. He's kind of been moving guys in and out because he can't find any consistency coming off the bench, and they really, you know, they're lacking depth. There's no question they're lacking quality depth and consistency in that depth. And by the way, Rick, you identify with this, and Tim to a certain degree, but the great Elgin Baylor died today, age 86.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one guy, and they had great Laker teams back in the 60s playing against Bill Russell, Rick, and Elgin Baylor could never win that NBA title because Bill Russell and the Celtics were always in the way in the finals.
I know. And Elgin Baylor, it's funny, he's one of those guys that you love to hate. You respect him. Sort of like, Mariano Rivera with the Yankees, that kind of thing. Elgin Baylor was in such a class act.
No doubt about it. And I could still, I was a little kid, but I know that he had 61 points against the Celtics in a huge playoff game. And I believe that's the game where the Lakers could have won Game 7 at the Garden and Frank Selvey took a baseline shot that would have won the game, and Bill Russell came down with the rebound, and the game ended right then and there.
Yeah,
and it was like that's the closest those early Celtics came to losing, in that long string of championships. And Elgin Baylor was on those great Laker teams, and he was just ahead of his time. He was sort of a forerunner of Julius Erving, don't you think?
I agree. Yeah, I remember that. He was sort of like a swing man. He could play every position just about.
6'5", and he had a Julius Erving-type talent.
Yeah.
Except it was back in the 50s and early 60s. Just a phenomenal player. And, of course, like you said, Rick, a class act, certainly one of the greatest NBA players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Passed away today at the age of 86.
And you mentioned Dr. J, and I got to tell you and Tim this. I was a senior at UMass out at the cage when Dr. J was a sophomore.
Oh.
And he would come into the cage. His fro would come into the building about 5 minutes before he did. And then he just played as a sophomore in college above the rim all night long. And he just packed the cage. It was spectacular to watch him. And there's another class act. There's a dude I'd love to interview as well.
Oh yeah, I tell you what, Rick. He was a great player, also a great guy off the court. Myself and Gary Larrabee, of course, who was on with you earlier tonight, is with you every week. We spoke to Dr. Julius Erving, Dr. J, many, many times in the locker room. Very articulate guy, classy guy. Willing to give credit to the opposing team when they got beat. Certainly was the leader of those great 76er teams in the early 80s, and he gave the Celtics fits. The Celtics beat them most of the time, but because I mentioned this before, when they played the 76ers and Julius Erving was at the height of his power and athleticism, the Celtics players would kid each other. I don't want to guard him. I don't want to guard him. You have McHale said, I don't want him. Maxwell, you take him. So I don't want him. And that's how good he was.
Yep.
He was just a ferocious, fearsome, a guy that you feared when the game started and for the entire 48 minutes.
Yeah. Who's the guy who did, do you guys remember who did, was it Michael Jordan who did those commercials with Larry Bird, Nothing But Net? Was remember that?
Right, right.
Was it Michael Jordan with Bird?
Yeah, I believe so.
What's that?
They were going all over the place, different locations.
Yeah, yeah. They'd be up in the balcony and they'd say, hit
right.
the floor
right.
and in the backboard, nothing but net. Oh, God, yeah. I thought Dr. J should have been in those too.
Oh, yeah. He was a spectacular player, great guy, and of course, tremendous career. And I can imagine what it was like in the cage at UMass in those days. The students must have just, overrun the building.
It was
and
amazing.
Get in to watch him play.
It was amazing. And even though we didn't know who he was, we did by the middle of the season. And he wasn't Dr. J then. He was Julius, you know?
Correct.
And he just played above the rim. It was electric, and he was just phenomenal. I mean, you go to the cage just to watch him. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Pure and simple.
The all-time greats, for sure. And, of course, you know, we were disappointed when he didn't go to the NBA. He played in the old ABA.
Right.
Because it was a bidding war before he finally turned his attention to the NBA. And, of course, it was, you know, many more fans interested in the NBA. So, obviously, he benefited, and the entire nation benefited in being able to watch him play.
Boys, we got to wrap it up. Go ahead, Tim.
Of course, that merger, Rick. I mean, Mike.
Right.
You know, and a couple other guys, but really it was Dr. J who drove.
No question. Yeah, that's right. He was definitely the barometer by which they had to, you know, they had to make a decision, and fortunately it worked out well for everybody concerned, you know.
Mike, we'll do it again.
A couple of scores, Mike. Belmont beat Gonzaga, the lady.
The lady Gonzaga, yeah. Okay.
And,
but, Tim, we know UConn. We know UConn is probably going to excel and win every game by 40 or more, right?
You know, they've got to play Syracuse in their bracket, I think.
Okay.
So that could be their toughest game. If they escape that, I don't see anybody really beating them. Plus, you know, they've got to get their little point guard back. She turned her ankle, looked like pretty bad last night.
Okay. So, okay.
But again, when you've got Ruka there, she was just incredible. She was just out of sight, you know.
Yeah.
And they're outstanding freshman ladies across the country. And
yeah.
They said, you know, if it wasn't for Paige, one of them would have won Player of the Year, but she's in Connecticut, and
yep.
I mean, they're just so strong. There are no seniors on the team. They have another top five, the top recruit coming in next year. It's like, jumping, Jesus. And Texas A&M, the number two seed in the Mikado region, is only up by two over Troy, the number 15 seed.
Right.
So, 80-78 with 18 seconds left, so that one is not over. So there's an upset in the potential making right there. Oh my word!
I love it when those number 15 seeds won. It's the Oral Roberts when they beat Ohio State. You know, it was like the all-time celebration at the school. You know, so
yeah.
That's one of the great things about the tournament, right, guys?
You know it, Mike. We'll do it again next week.
That sounds great.
And we'll get, what is it next week? The Sweet 16 down to the Final Four?
Correct. Yeah, that becomes very, because now you really got your top level teams playing, or teams that have been, exceeding their projections or reached that round sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's always great to watch as well.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much, man. I love it. We'll talk again next Monday.
Thanks to both you guys. Have a good week.
Take care, Mike.
Yep.
All right, that's Mike Grenier, who is a sports journalist and, a basketball aficionado, as they say. Coach, final thoughts?
I'm going to run because I want to go outside and see if I can see the space station go over.
All right, talk to you later, Coach. Stay safe.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Tim. That is Tim.
Next week.
Yep, that's Tim Kearns, MSO News Sports. He is our sports analyst and all-around Goodwill ambassador. I'm Rick Moore. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. And I have to answer this, so we'll say
call
good night.
From private caller.